they're watching it and they're really disgusted by what they see for the dollar managers. The King Dollar Court is getting failing grades and they're selling the dollar. They're selling a lot of treasury bonds and they're buying gold. And that's the BRICS are one of the biggest factors. It's Japan, China, and the BRICS. They're driving up the gold price. It's amazing what's going on.
Well, hello there, my friends. Chris Marcus here with you for Arcadia Economics. And as you can see, I am joined once again by one of our favorite guests on the show here and a man who has quite a following across the internet. And of course, that is the great Dr. Jim Willie, who's got a sign indicating that we're recording on Monday, October 14th, and two signs, actually, as you can see. So, Jim, thank you. Now we know that we're recording on Monday, October 14th to get the big mystery out of the way. And certainly a lot to talk about. We have BRICS meeting next week. We have a gold rally that has continued throughout the year. It almost seems like yesterday's news, the Fed and their 50 basis points, but a lot happening. And anyway, it's a pleasure to have you in here on Monday, October 14th, as I think everyone is aware of now. And how's it going, buddy?
Oh, I tell you, I'm a little bit rattled, Chris. I think that we're in climax time. You know, for several months, going way back to the end of last year, a lot of people were saying, and I believe correctly so, well, you know, all the different vectors of time are pointing toward late October and early November, and there's going to be a lot of events, there'll be a lot of attempted disruptions. There'll be a lot of international incidents, so probably an attempt toward wider war. And nobody really mentioned hurricanes, but now that is very much in the news. And I gotta say something. I gotta say something really important. I have been mentioning HAARP and hurricanes and DEW, directed energy weapons, lasers. I've been mentioning them for 20 years, and I've taken some mockery. And usually they're from people who don't know shit from shinola on technology. So it's my answer lately has been, so what is your opinion on German literature? And they say, well, I don't speak German. I say, well, that's probably then about as valuable as your opinion about regarding HAARP weapons, because I don't think you know even what a microwave is. Anyway, I have very little patience for people who dismiss the argument about HAARP weapons, weather warfare, directed weather storms, formed weather storms, shaped, intensified weather storms, directed the path. And I'm going to share with you something that I got a week ago from one of my favorite sources of information on technology. And he comes from, let's just say, the central states of the United States, and he's near the Appalachian region. He said, Jim, I got a gem for you. I know somebody who is aware that they're now mounting small HAARP weapon devices, and they're putting them on trucks. Like a back of a semi, and they were driving it through the Western Carolina region in order to direct a current straight up, a heat current, a heat eddy. And I said, how are they directing it? What are some of the details? And he said, they're grounding it with the cell phone towers, and they're directing a beam straight up. And that's how they directed it straight into Chimney Rock, Tennessee. He said they now have the technology, not just by ships, but by trucks. And we're getting a lot of information. I was told by a military source that the Italians started Helene and the US military intensified it and directed it up through the Appalachian region with the target of Chimney Rock. And the Germans created Milton, and the American Cabalists intensified it and directed it toward, it was to be toward Tampa. And get a load of this, Chris. He got back to me and said, Jim, I got some very interesting news on technology. The white hats now have the ability to reduce the intensity. Okay, we all know, well, those who have, technological training and awareness and study this, we know that they can intensify the storms. I actually saw it from the same source. He gave me a bunch of different things. They call it triangular. They run aircraft over the storm in a triangle, and they direct dew lasers into the storm to heat it up, but also to make it more geomagnetic. I mean, like dozens and dozens of lightning strikes. So they're really learning a lot. The bad guys, the cabal, the globalists, the ones who want to cause disruptions. And I follow the technology. 15 years ago, it was all land-based, big antenna structures for microwaves. And I was always wondering, how do they direct that 2,000 miles away? And now I'm learning that Antarctica is a geo storm center for fabricating the storms. Antarctica. Okay, this is getting very complicated, but you know what's different now, Chris? Yeah, yes, exactly. The upper left and to the side, the left side in the middle. Yeah, it's in Alaska. Gigantic antenna structures, and they create microwave. Well, there are a couple of things that are really important for people who aren't very well versed in this and don't understand it, and therefore they dismiss it as goofy technology. Well, I'm telling you that you're the goofy guy, the one who dismisses it, and you belong in the back of the class, and you get an F for the course because you don't know anything. I'm not going to say the word stupid. You don't know anything. This is a topic of your ignorance. So pay attention, you people. This is now weather wars and your target. There
Jim, I
are
think it's
no
the,
microwaves. Go ahead.
just saying, I think it's the delicate delivery of the message that you give that often
Yeah.
helps it to get out there.
I'm
So thank you.
tired of ignorant people dismissing my well-studied conclusions and learning process. How many science courses did you take in college, dumbass? Oh, I didn't take, I took philosophy and literature and I took French. Okay, well, your opinion don't matter much. Okay, it don't matter at all. There's no natural microwaves in the atmosphere. So when Dutch Sensei in 2012 was tracking, what was it, Hurricane Sandy that hit the New Jersey coast, your home area, and Governor Christie was kissing Obama's ass. Dutch Cincy was tracking the microwaves in the atmosphere. And that is a telltale signal of intensifying and steering a storm. Okay. The other thing that I find remarkable, Chris, is that the North Carolina and the South Carolina senators and congressional members, I used to just call them congressmen, but got to be careful. Congressional members, it's easier for members of parliament. They just call them MPs. Even my mother referred to MPs from her days in England. We have the North Carolina, South Carolina congressional members talking openly about weather warfare, and they want investigations because their states have been affected and attacked. They want answers. They want to know who's doing it, why are they doing it, and how are we going to hold them responsible? We're talking about releasing the water upstream in a dam in North Carolina or Tennessee, and that created a 70 to 100 foot high wall of water. Now, what home can withstand that? And as for the death count, I've been following several dozen Twitter X. I don't like calling it X. I call it Twitter X. Several dozen items on Twitter X. And what I'm learning is FEMA's interfering. What I'm learning is there's a lot of displaced people. What I'm learning is there might be several thousand dead bodies in the debris. When they say that there are 300 deaths, you need to put a couple more zeros on that. I think the death toll is going to be something minimum of 20 to 30,000 people. And the press is not talking much about it. But the Congress is actually, there are a couple stories where the press is beginning to talk about weather warfare in a general sense. Chris, this is exciting because I believe the Democrats realize they've lost. They're going to lose. Now, there's a Marxist asshole out of California. He's a Democrat, obviously. I call them fascist Dems because they're not Democratic. There's nothing Democratic about the Democratic Party. So let's just call them fascist Dems. This guy's is a Congressman, Jamie something. And he says, we Democrats are not are going to be talking about not approving a Trump victory. And I say, well, that's great. That's really great. I'm glad to hear that because it means two things. It means the Democrats, the fascist Dems, expect to lose. They know they're going to lose. And the second thing is, let them try to block the approval and ratification, that's the official word, of the election victory for Trump. And let's get really serious. The polls are saying that it's neck and neck, 5-point lead. What a pack of steaming, stinking bullshit. The lead is 50% and it's approaching 60%. We had a 27-point victory in the Teamsters Union poll for Trump. That's heavy Democrat territory. 27% victory. I'm sorry, lead in the poll. Now, Elon Musk did his own, and it was an 83 to, oh, I don't know exactly, 83 to 18, 80, no, that'd be too many. 83 to 15%, something like that. They can't add up to more than 100% unless you're a Democrat. And if it works out to your favor, then that's okay. And anyone who complains is a conspiracy theorist. Yeah, we all understand their methods now, Chris. We had this rehearsal. We saw the movie in 2020, and what they plan to do ain't going to work. I'm expecting a number of people to be arrested on election day, and I'm expecting some very interesting revelations. Okay, I like the fact that the fascist Dems are talking about not ratifying a Trump victory because they know that that's what we're going to get. We're going to get a very big Trump victory. And you got assholes like Martin Sheen out of Hollywood saying that they're going to have vigilantes out there to prevent the MAGA insurrections on election day at voting centers. Are you kidding? All the evidence going back to the Obama elections were fascist Dems blocking Republicans from voting. Anyway, that's my little introductory speech. I'm excited about this election. I think it's very dangerous, one of the most dangerous political events I've ever seen in my lifetime. And I've seen a lot. And remember, Chris, the first president that I remember when I was wearing my little cowboy outfit and shooting my pistol with caps and, what do you go? I don't know what they call them. We call them caps. My first president was Eisenhower. I was watching Roy Rogers and Rin Tin Tin and the Lone Ranger and Gene Autry, the singing cowboy. And hey, Daddy, who's that guy on TV? Oh, that's the President Eisenhower, Jimmy. Okay, my first president was Eisenhower, and it was a big event when Kennedy won. I was 8 years old. And it was really quite historic, as we know now, because he rattled the cabal cages and they got him out of the way. Chris, this is exciting. And during all this, the whole world is watching, our world. That's what I say now, the globe, our world, because I think that there are other worlds out there. They're watching it and they're really disgusted by what they see for the dollar managers. The King Dollar Court is getting failing grades and they're selling the dollar. They're selling a lot of treasury bonds and they're buying gold. And that's the BRICS are one of the biggest factors. It's Japan, China, and the BRICS. They're driving up the gold price. It's amazing what's going on.
And
And
Jim, can I just hop in there real quick? Because here's something that you have talked about. I know there's a tendency to hear people say the world is dumping the dollar. I hope I haven't used that exact phrase. There are areas where that's been happening. I heard a lot of talk about Japan and have been keeping a number on an eye on the numbers there. And for a long time that had not been the case. Although here we can see that there has been a decline since February in Japan. They were up to, or actually in March, even up to 1.187 trillion. So they've dropped about $70 billion in the past half year or so. So now Japan, at least according to the data that we have here from the Treasury, has lowered their position along with China and.
it's much more stable now. Yeah, they had a gun pointed there to their heads, so they've been buying treasury bonds a little bit more. But if you look back to October of 21, you'd see that it was a much higher figure, like 200, almost 200 billion higher. And I don't think you've got those columns to the right.
Yeah, we don't go that far back on this one.
Yeah. Okay, I know that these are important numbers. The key part is they've got $1 trillion more of treasury bonds to get rid of. That's the key point, 1.1 trillion. The Chinese are not buying treasury bonds anymore with their surpluses. They're going directly to buy gold. The evidence is all over the place. As I said before, we've got Japan buying gold. They want to fortify their banking system because they haven't resolved their crisis that started 2 years ago. We got China converting their trade surplus into gold. And we got UAE Dubai serving as a clearinghouse, a dumping center, a garbage dump for treasury bonds, the toxic paper. It's not backed by anything. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, look at that drop. There you go. That's exactly it. October 21. I tracked that, after the fact. It went down 180 billion. If you look at the low, if you could point to the low, there you go. So 1064, and it was what, 11, no, 1320. All right. So,
So from
oh my God.
October of 2021 to October of 2022, there was a 300 billion drop.
Yeah,
250, 300.
260, 280. Yeah. Okay, that's significant. It's 1 year. It's 1 year. I don't know if I said 2 year, but it's 1 year. And during that time, their Japanese yen went down 21%, Chris. And if you talk to a regular grounded person with a good thinking cap and good mental abilities and say, if the Japanese dumped $200 billion of treasury bills, what would happen, in your opinion, to the Japanese currency? They'd say, well, it would probably go up because they're dumping the dollar. And it's just the absolute opposite. And it's a paradox. The Japanese yen went down over 20%. And I've documented this, and I've been mentioning this now for a good year. It's actually, okay, now you got to turn that upside down. That's the dollar has gone up, which means the yen has gone down. So you could just say they dumped the treasury bond and the dollar went up.
Yes.
Look at the period of time that was in focus, Chris. October of 21.
So right about there, and there's where we
Yeah,
see.
right. That's where they so the dollar went up 20% or more when the Bank of Japan dumped over $200 billion worth of treasuries. So, okay, I have kind of a funny interpretation. I like to keep it simple for people. All the currencies are basically dollars. All the major forex currencies are basically dollars. They have a different jacket on. So the yen is a dollar with a yen jacket. And the important part is when they sold a lot of treasury bonds, they did not maintain the volume of their dollar reserve backing up their yen. When they sold the treasury bonds, they bought gold. And gold is not a dollar reserve. So their yen went down. They reduced their dollar reserves. And when they sold treasuries, they did not keep it in dollars. So their yen went down. What it means now is that all the major nations are in trouble and they've got a gun at their heads. They cannot dump treasury bonds fast because that'll harm their own currency when they go to gold. This is a catch-22 of magnificent proportions. Every major central bank cannot dump treasuries and go into gold quickly without doing tremendous damage to their banks, their trade, their exports, their currency, their banking system. And to give you an example of the fallout, foreigners realized a yen decline, and that meant that their investments in Japanese government bonds went way down 20%. So the Japanese had to print money to cover their own debt that was sold by other countries after they suffered a yen decline. Foreign countries had ownership of a lot of Japanese government bonds, JGBs they're called. So the Japanese had an additional problem after their original problem. They had to print money to buy their own bonds. And that led to the yen going down another 3%. Okay, that's the catch-22 and danger. And I've explained this probably a dozen times, and I believe at least twice on your show. Foreign central banks cannot easily get rid of their treasury bonds. Not easily. And we're finding a paradox. We're finding a, well, that's not the right word. We're finding a very unusual event taking place. The new development bank for the BRICS is loaded with treasury bonds. So one could say that the BRICS new infrastructure, ports, railroads, shipping industry, mining industry, it's going to be built off the dead carcass of treasury bonds sitting at their new development bank in the tens of billions. Okay, this is really historic, really historic. Anyway, I believe the biggest factor behind the gold move is the Japanese buying, the Chinese buying, and the BRICS nations buying. They're following the Chinese lead.
And Jim, while you're mentioning Japan, obviously we had a couple of weeks back that 12% decline in the Nikkei as we saw an unwinding of the carry trade. And again, as a reminder, we're recording Monday, October
I
14th.
don't want to distract you. I just want to get this. Don't look at me.
That's, no, it's definitely not distracting at all. So I'll continue with the question here. You know, we saw that massive decline bounce back up the next day.
Yes. And
And
Wall
obviously,
Street
it's
blamed Japan. Wall Street blamed Japan for the yen carry trade. Right.
I mean,
Bullshit.
have we seen the end of that?
No.
It seems like
No.
stabilized, but not done yet.
Well, they lied. Wall Street lied. They lied in two ways. They said that the Japanese have created a problem with the yen carry trade, borrowing from their own till and investing in the United States treasury bonds. And then they lied and said it's only $2 trillion in volume, 2.5 trillion. Well, my sources said it was 20 trillion, not two and a half, 20 trillion. And Wall Street lied in a third way. They said that it's been accumulating in the last 2 or 3 years. It's been accumulating since 1995. It's 30 years, 20 trillion, and they're nowhere near done. And we put a gun to their heads and said, look, you got to buy back your treasury bonds, or they decided we need to stabilize the yen by buying more dollar reserves, as I explained. And don't leave out the fact that the Japanese, under great pressure from the Roths and Rocks, have released the Replicon mRNA, which is 10 times worse than the previous type. Anyway, Japanese are under a lot of pressure. I have clients who tell me, Jim, I study Japan a lot, and there are about 20 officials have been murdered in the last year and a half. There's a lot of pressure on Japan to follow the American lead and don't stray from the course. And that's not the only place where a lot of assassinations have taken place. When Sheinbaum in Mexico, the Marxist woman, when she won, it was a result of 50 assassinations in the Mexican government at various levels. So she won as a result of numerous murders. Okay, this is really nasty, Chris, and I got to just throw it in since I mentioned Mexico. There's a danger that they might nationalize their mines, and that's silver production. But I just read something yesterday that says Sheinbaum has backed off on that. I don't believe that for one second. They're talking about nationalizing their mining industry. They're also talking about limiting foreign direct investment in their mining industry, which means, very simply, they're going to regard silver as a national security metal. They might actually join Russia and China to create a silver cartel. Wouldn't that be interesting if they limit the supply when the price is going up? Then all of a sudden we go to 50, then 60, and whoa, a big silver cartel obstruction, and we're up to 85 in 3 days. That's what I expect. We're going to see big, discontinuous moves in silver once we break 35.
And Jim, I know you've mentioned the idea of some form of silver cartel before. Is that something that you've seen specific data points to support that there's a conversation about that, or something that you think would be logical, or just how would
I've
you
seen
phrase
no
that?
follow-up, no follow-up, except a story 2 months ago, I think it was about August, a story about how the Chinese were approaching Mexico on the concept that Mexico would be the ringleader of the entire Latin American silver-producing nations to get them to sign up with Russia and China, who are rather large silver producers. I think Russia could be as big a silver producer as they want. When you got 13 time zones, you probably got 20 different areas for silver exploration, and I doubt they've done even a quarter of what they could. And don't ever leave out something that I got from my Swiss source 3 years ago: the Russians and their military in the Urals, the Ural military vaults. Have two military vaults in the Urals, and they have 120,000 tons of gold. They will be making the gold policy along with the Chinese and the BRICS. The BRICS are going to be run by China and Russia with strong support from India and Iran, which I like to call Persia. I got a Persian client, and he said, Jim, it's the West that calls us Iran. We call ourselves Persian Empire. And we're a 5,000-year empire, and we don't get pushed around. I said, I understand. Anyway,
Just in case
yeah.
you'd like to take a look, this is from the USGS, and here we have reserves. I
Is
don't
this all
know.
silver?
This is for silver. So you can see
Yeah.
Russia in third place, slightly behind Australia and Mexico, or no, Peru on this chart. So at
Isn't
least,
look well
as of what is.
silver Mexico is 6,195 there.
In
I don't know
terms
why
of
they have.
the reserves in the column on this
Oh, it's
right here.
alphabetical order. Notice that alphabetical order.
Yes, here's the mine production.
Yeah.
in China,
And
Peru, and
Russia is really not a big player. Peru and China are big players. Well, just imagine, I tell this story a couple times. It's worth telling again. I had graduated from college, and it was 1973. And Nixon was the president, and we had the wage price freeze. And then we had the untold story of Kissinger creating the oil embargo. It was not the Arabs who did that. It was Kissinger. And it was Kissinger who recommended the fourfold increase in the oil price. It was Kissinger who recommended the recycle of oil surplus, petro surplus, recycle in the treasury bond. It was Kissinger who created the exchange stabilization fund with a 20% tax on all OPEC oil sales, went straight to the New York Fed for the ESF. It was Kissinger who did all this, and it was all behind the scenes operating as a Rockefeller agent while he was, I think, prominently positioned as Secretary of State under Nixon. And I remember all of that, and especially when I was driving down to Tallahassee, Florida, to entertain an offer for a fellowship in the statistics department at Florida State. And it was really difficult to find gas stations that were open on the return trip. Very difficult to get gasoline. Anyway, that's back in my mind. Now, the reason I bring that up is that it created OPEC. In 1972, there was no OPEC. In 1973, they had tremendous power. They limited the oil supply. We had a quadrupling of the oil price. The petro recycling came into effect, and the United States promised to keep the entire region destabilized so that the Persian Gulf nations would continue to buy U.S. weapons. So we not only taxed them 20% on the OPEC oil sales, we required them to buy military weapons in a big way while we kept tensions constant. And the part that blows the entire story apart is that the Saudis hired Mossad to run their security for the royals. What does that mean? It means a fabricated tension in the region. Now, the reason I brought that up is that OPEC was created. Now imagine that there's a silver OPEC. Let's just call it Silver Peck, okay? Silver Peck. Imagine Silver Peck, and they got a new minister of Silver Peck, and they decide they're going to cut back silver production by 10 or 15% because they don't like something in the global situation. So Silver Peck cuts back on silver production, and the silver price goes up 10 bucks. Chris, this is where that kind of cartel could show its muscle. And I think it's very likely to happen because silver is going to be recognized. I got this news 5, 6, 7 years ago from The Voice, who's no longer on my radar. We had a lot of problems. He just turned really nasty. Really, really nasty.
And Jim, just one note on what you're saying there. We've already seen executives from silver companies talking about doing that now, not necessarily organizing an OPEC, because I was actually discussing that with someone last night, which would have been Sunday, October 13th. And they were mentioning how it's kind of a tricky thing because, when you get into antitrust violations, the degree to which you can discuss
Oh,
that,
there's no antitrust internationally.
We
No
have seen
antitrust.
companies and CEOs of companies. Endeavor has done it. First Majestic has done it. Chris Ritchie of Silvercrest, that was recently purchased by Core about 2 weeks ago, they've talked about doing it to some degree for the same reasons you're citing.
Well, national security is being used in the same sentence as silver production for a number of different nations. Now, this is what's unique. I had never heard of Mexico talking about national security with respect to mining, with respect to silver reserves. We'd heard about Mexico and developing a silver-backed peso, but we never talked about national security for silver output and silver reserves. This is all very new, Chris. And it's only going to get more intense when it becomes very, very clear how nation after nation is going to be very motivated to put to use energy production and various technology that's very dependent on silver. I remember it was what, Neumeier of First Majestic.
Keith
This was about
Newman.
5 years ago. Keith Neumeier, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, I sometimes call him New Bayer, but it's Neumeier. He held back on some of his silver production and put it into inventory and pissed off Wall Street. And that was 5 or 6 years ago. He knew that the price was artificial. The trouble with the mining companies is they need to sell their output in order to keep their operations going. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they got tens of billions of dollars in secretive white hat funding so they could hold back on their output and build their inventory and say F you to Wall Street, not share their output with Wall Street at an artificially low price and say,
We're
what are
getting
you waiting?
billion-dollar subsidies to the mining sector. That would make some
Yeah,
people happy.
I think that it would make a lot of sense if we're talking about national security. How many billions do we throw into national security in the United States? A lot. Anyway, I tell you, these are very, very interesting times, full of intrigue, full of a little bit of unease, bordering on panic. My Florida wingman that I mention once in a while, a military source, he gets intel out of CENTCOM in Tampa, and he just got whacked by Hurricane Milton. But as he put it, Jim, we're not severely hit. We don't have electricity, and it's difficult to get gasoline. And I got very low grade internet, so I got Wi-Fi, but I got no internet for like video. The Florida wingman has informed me in Tampa that the storm went south for its prime hit toward Sarasota. I think somewhere between Tampa and Sarasota was the direct landfall hit. But he tells me that Tampa has a lot of power outages, like trees that are knocking down power lines, telephone poles knocked over. He said it's difficult to get gasoline and he doesn't quite have internet yet. So that's Tampa. And now there's another storm that's brewing. I don't know what its name will be, but it's got to be after M. Do you know what the storm is, Chris? I haven't heard.
I
You're in
haven't kept up
Florida.
with the latest name. I know we had Milton, and fortunately, we've been okay here
There
so far.
are a couple more, and they're saying that one is growing in intensity. Here we go again. And here's a little propaganda guideline. We never had mainstream news talk about natural intensification of a storm. Why are they doing that? Because the intensification is not natural. So they're using the phrase natural intensification. So the dumb people in the crowd will say, well, I heard there's a lot of natural intensification. And rather than thinking, well, this might be artificially man-made in its intensification. So watch what the mainstream news talks about and do a 180 flip on it, you people who have a brain stem that you wish to operate.
Well,
I'm
there.
tired of, there are a lot of humans, even in the MAGA crowd. They ain't that smart. So they need to be led by people who are smart, like you. You've got your gigantic brain, and I benefit tremendously from it. We need to have the MAGA people follow the intelligent, trained people who know what the hell they're talking about with technology. And as I said to a family member recently, you really haven't kept up with technology for half a century, so you might want to trust others who have. like me. And believe me, I'm no expert in harp. I'm no expert in do, but I'm told that from above, they're pouring a trillion watts into the storm center from above. You think that maybe makes it a little more prone to lightning? Oh my gosh.
Well, there is part one of this month's interview with Dr. Jim Willey, the editor of the Hat Trick Letter, which you can find at Golden-Jackass. And don't worry, there's part two, which will be coming your way tomorrow night at 8, where he talks specifically about the BRICS, the meeting that is coming up next week, and a whole host of other things that I think you'll enjoy tuning in to hear. Although before we wrap up tonight, Jim actually did stick around because we do have some news on the Arcadia Economics channel or extension thereof, as we have just started a Substack where we are now sharing a daily column that fortunately Jim, amongst others, have been reading and enjoyed. And Jim stuck around to record another minute of his thoughts about that. And here you go. Jim, as I think you're aware, we actually just started a Substack recently, which I know you've been receiving some of them. And
I get a lot. I get one almost every day, and they're very valuable to me. I learn something every single time. Your guests are rock solid, and I think you got one of the best shows around, to tell you the truth. And if you do a Substack, I think people would really benefit from it. I've learned a few things. I'm always looking for meat on the bones, as I call it, more details. So when I see information that you provide, it gives me more data regarding, well, several things, like what is that clown who's running the Fed, Jerome Powell? What's he saying lately? What kind of bullshit lies is he spouting out to justify rate cuts in the face of a government debt default? Indian silver, I'm always interested in that because I think they're going to make sure that the silver price never goes down. They'll provide the floor. And you're giving information about drawdowns of reserves. You give information about the Russians. They just declared that silver is going to become a national security asset. And that, I think, is a trend that's going to grow. So you're on top of that. You got some details about the Russian courts seizing JP Morgan assets. Well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Golly, if we're going to weaponize the dollar, there's going to be blowback weaponization of dollar-based assets. We got all kind. I mean, foreign nations could, what's the word, appropriate our military bases. They could say, well, thanks for all the equipment and munitions here. We want you off. We want you out of the country and leave behind all your weapons. And, thanks for the runways. We got a new Air Force base. Thank you very much. We think that blowback can't come, but it can. Anyway, back to your Substack. I wish you luck with it. Substacks are a real threat to the mainstream news. And Tucker Carlson brought this out. I think Tucker Carlson is doing tremendously. I mean, like 10 to 20 times the revenue that he used to receive as a Fox News reporter. Substacks is going to be very big. Anyway, good luck with it. You got a lot of information. I've never seen so much data flow. I remember a conversation I had on the front porch with my father, and he was let's see, how old would be in 09, he would have been 90. Yeah. So he was like 88, 87 years old on his front porch. And he said, Jim, are you ever going to run out of good material? I said, no.
Yeah,
Not
I
with
don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
the demise of the dollar, not with the breakdown of the banks, not with constant war, and not with the emergence of the East. And he said, well, I hope you talk about something that's positive about the country. And I said to him the following: when the United States does some positive things, I will be writing about it.
Well, I know what
Let
you
me.
mean, and there's some degree to which we can, obviously we have our feelings, what we want to happen, what we think should happen or would be fair. Yet there's also as a reporter sharing what is happening out there, a lot of stuff which obviously people don't see. So Jim, I'm honored that you've been reading some of it, and I appreciate the kind words. And for anyone watching at home, the link in the description field will take you there where you can find out more about it. And yeah, I wanted to do something that I thought would be helpful. Pieces aren't long essays, so we've tried to keep them short enough that easy to read quickly each day, and at least give
Is
people a
there
good.
is it one a day?
Yep, one per trading day. So that way, a couple minutes a day, you can stay pretty well versed on what's going on here. And
Okay.
honored that you're reading them, Jim. So thank you.
Yeah. Oh, they're chock full of information that's reliable.
Well, I
All right.
appreciate that, my friend. And
All right, very good.
well, thank you again to Jim, and thank you all at home for watching. Hope this has been a fun part of your night. And if you'd like to find out more about the Substack, you can go to goldandsilverdaily.substack.com. And we will wrap up for tonight, but in just under 24 hours, part two of Jim Willie's interview, where he digs into his many thoughts about the BRICS meeting. Believe it or not, he didn't hold back and has plenty to say. So we'll see you back here tomorrow, 8 p.m., and have a great night.